Okay. And welcome to the Rondo. Yeah, back yeah. again. Come on, come on. And it's a very special day. Mm. Not just because Liverpool beat Arsenal, but you know what I'm saying? It's your boy,
AA,
the host. It's my birthday, man. Come on. Another year, another blessing, man. Yeah.
Toast to
Mr. Rondo himself.
Yeah, come on, man. Big love to everyone inside.
All right, man.
Okay, on today's agenda, hey, man, it's packed. We've starting off with the FA Cup. We're going to do a roundup of the FA Cup and do a spotlight on the Arsenal and Liverpool game. Little smash and grab there. Happy about that. Then we're going to do Rondos of the season. We're halfway through the season now. People are going to come with their major take on the season so far. We're going to then move on to least favourite and best genres of players. It was a little trend on Twitter. If any of our fans have been on the T-Army, most should be football Twitters, you know, is where it's at if it ain't the Rondo. So we're going to do a little of that. Everyone's going to come up with a couple. And then we're going to finish off with players who had a cold debut and then kind of fell off. Because we ain't had any Premier League ball, so we don't want to be doing too much in the FA Cup. Want to spice it up. So on today's podcast, you know, we got someone who ain't been... I don't think you've even been in this new studio, have you?
It's been a while.
So firstly, I'll introduce, you know, Lesh, a.k.a. Kiko.
Yeah, man.
Strong supporter of Arsenal,
yeah? Yeah. Feels good to be back.
How come you're not repping them, though?
Huh? Allegiance, isn't it? You feel me? Yeah, man, it feels good to be back. You know what I mean? Rondo's favourite member. You know what I'm saying? formerly known as Clock and Keeks, but yeah, man.
Fair. So it's Jamaica before Arsenal today?
Yeah, 100%.
Fair enough. I've got my guy, regular Man United boy, RM, telling something.
Come on, man. Bro.
Are you happily repping United this week?
Hell no.
Did you guys play?
No, we're playing tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Got Wigan. Big game
Wigan,
for us.
Big
game for us.
Isn't that a bit of a derby?
Huh?
Isn't that a bit of a derby?
I mean,
yeah. These London Man United fans, they don't know. They don't know Manchester.
Like, geographically, yeah.
And we got our regular co-host, Jalen, in the building. Very happy guy today. I'm all right. This guy just sipped his drink. Nothing to say, Jay. Okay. All right. So let's go straight into it. FA Cup game. Liverpool beating Arsenal 2-0 at the Emirates. I obviously enjoyed it, but I won't start off. But I think... I won't start off before that. But now, what a little smash and grab. You know, after Arsenal, I felt, dominated large parts. I thought that they had a very good first half. Missed a lot of chances. A lot of big chances as well. But then Liverpool stayed in the game, as you do. And when you've got the quality that we have on the pitch, we are eventually going to score, which is what happened. And, you know, Arsenal ended up losing at home. And that is three losses on the trot. I think we'll start with, our returner in the building, Lesh. Start us off with thoughts on the game.
Thoughts on the game. I felt like... it was a must-win game for Arsenal in terms of momentum, getting back on track. Obviously, before this, we hadn't won. I think we'd lost like our past three games or so. We hadn't, we've been on a bit of a losing...
Three games on the spin and no wins in five
now. So I felt like it was a key game for us to win, to get back on track. Don't touch me. Get the momentum going again, get the squad going, get confidence back up into the squad. In terms of the starting lineup, it was okay. I would have loved to have seen Smith Rowe be starting again. I felt like in an FA Cup game, you know what I mean? You don't always have to be playing, you know, your regular 11 and whatnot. So it would have been nice to see a rotation there. But he started Reece Nelson, which was good to see and whatnot. Started the game amazingly. I guess the one downfall the major downfall in the side was that we just couldn't score. Obviously, Havertz was playing.
Regular theme.
Obviously, Havertz was playing. It was looking promising, you know. Jalen was getting excited by the runs he was making and everything like that. But we just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net.
No, I couldn't.
And then I guess the thing that really, 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 really disappointed me today was the in-game management by Arteta.
Okay, that was the most disappointing thing for you.
Yeah, 100%. I think at Klopp at halftime... he put Nunes onto the left. He kind of like switched around the positions of the front three.
Yeah, we were better.
Because he noticed a few things. And then Liverpool looked a lot better in the second half. I think in terms of being a top tier manager, Arteta should have looked at the game and should have been like, I can see that we're creating chances. We're playing good football today, but we're not finishing it. So something needed to change up top. And that's where he should have... Havertz never looked like he was going to score at all in the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he should have made a change. Whether it is going with Trossard up front at the F9, we saw he did well there last season. Mm-hmm. He could have even... Obviously, Nketiah was an option in the, on the bench. And even though he's not been, you know what I mean, the best in front of goal,
yeah.
I feel like you'd feel more confident with him on the end of chances than Havertz.
Okay.
And then even there's Martinelli as an option to go up front. So I feel like the in-game management there was just poor. Again, giving Smith Rowe 3 minutes to come on and try and make something happen, that's poor as well.
Cool.
And yeah.
I just want to focus your points there a little bit. What's your thoughts on Havertz? Obviously, Havertz has had some cameos at LCM, blown a bit hot and cold. He went up top today. Some people say in that sort of F9 position, people say it's his best position. And obviously, he showed a lot of good bits, but he didn't score. So what's your thoughts on him?
Let's not be entirely negative, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and give a balanced opinion. Havertz, positives today. I think he showed what the team could be with a striker that makes good runs. I'll give him that. Yeah, I think he showed that. I think he showed that.
You're coming with a positive viewpoint after you told me that I'm not allowed to be positive after the game. And then not only that, but then you took the point that I made and now you're making it yourself.
Well, it's not... Everybody can see today that Havertz was making good runs.
You said, allow it, man. Oh, you should have come off the pitch.
You did say that about Havertz, yeah.
Because he couldn't finish. But as I said, he showed today...
So now you're saying that when I said that I could see a glimpse of what Havertz showed, now you're making that point.
But the thing is, you didn't give a balanced opinion straight away. After the game, the first thing you said is, I can see glimpses.
I saw glimpses of what I will get from a top striker.
You didn't.
Which is what you just said.
All right, guys. Let's bring it back. Moving on from Havertz. I want to talk about Bukayo Saka. So I know, Lesh, you're a big fan of Saka. He is, you know, he's been... your talisman at times at Arsenal, and he's been a consistent top player in the side. Teta's got a lot of faith in him. I'm not going to lie. Today, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it's the dye that he put in his hair.
Hmm.
Maybe he should be listening to his Nigerian dad, because I know he didn't approve of that. But like, what's sort of happening with him? Because not maybe been in the best form, and I thought he was the worst of the front three. Hmm. I thought he should have come off. What's your thoughts on him?
Hmm.
First things first, it's clear to see that he's nursing an injury.
We've heard rumors
about this Achilles injury, which led to him.
Rumors. Go on.
Wow. You're not letting me talk.
All right, finish.
We saw that at some points after he took a knock, he had to go change his boots, whatever.
Oh,
so look, fuck. No. This then loops back to the man management of the squad, Arteta. Oh, knowing when to take him off, when to take him out, certain games he doesn't need to play, X, Y, and Z, yeah? Saka has not had the greatest of seasons so far. Obviously, in terms of stats and whatnot, he's got pretty decent stats, but in terms of output and what you're seeing on the eye, it's not been too good. He didn't play well today. I think Arteta made a mistake in keeping him on when Reece Nelson looked the more lively threat out of our two wingers today. But in terms of Saka's overall performances, I think it's been a consistent trend probably over the past 5, maybe 10 games, where it's like you see glimpses of what this guy can do and the player that
time he plays bad, it's always about the injuries.
It's not every time, but it's just clear to see, and we hear the rumours that he's... Every time he gets a knock, you see the Achilles.
He takes impact.
Why our club has had to come out and say, this guy needs more protection. He's just getting used to the
manager. So you're saying it's more the manager. You don't think the manager manages his... is his health. Because, I think, because why would he be playing him if he's always carrying?
I saw something that, like, out of the past 100 Premier League games he's played in, all like 99 of them,
Salah and Mane used to play every game for us.
Saka is 21 years old, and he's been doing this consistently. Like, it's clear to see that he's nursing some type of knock. But if you want to take that out of the equation, I'll happily. I'm a Saka stan. Yeah.
Okay.
From the beginning, I'll happily hold my hands up and say, this guy has not been at his best.
I see
best.
What you're saying.
He's not been at his best.
Okay.
And all let right. me finish, yeah? Again, it comes down to the man management of
no, it doesn't.
Tessa.
No, it does. I cut this guy off now, man.
We are going to come to you, but... All right, fair. I hear what you're saying, but I do... And I do think Teta could manage him a bit better, but I do think we have to remember that Saka is... He's one of your highest earners. He's got a... He is... Even though he's young, he's got a senior responsibility in the team, so...
Bro, what
he's
level do you play think this guy games. Is?
Currently,
yeah.
He's in the tier below the likes of the Mo Salahs, the Vinny Jr. He's not in that
he's
tier.
He's in the tier below.
Yeah.
So what does he need to do to get to that top tier?
Just has to be consistent.
It ain't happening.
He has to be consistent. Like that game we saw against Man United last season,
bro,
where he was unplayable.
We need to stop using that game. You know how long ago that was?
That's an example.
That was almost a year ago.
Let me land. That game against Man United, we just need to see that more consistently where... He's like the end product is there. He's taking on players. He's the main kind of like threat in our attack. Damn. That's what we have to see.
Okay, yeah, we got a roundup from you, left for 10 minutes in. Anyway.
I came to talk.
Yeah, fair.
So let me talk and let me land.
If you're gonna
let me talk, let me land.
All right. Let's
the
move on.
Done that, anyway.
All right. Jaylen.
No clips.
Did you have any key talking points from the game before?
Yeah,
I ask you a couple of key things. Yours is gonna be a little bit more focused.
Yeah, I'm gonna that's a fire, by the way.
Wait, let's
just because he's unfocused all the time.
He's giving you two. The primary responsibility for the loss today that you're giving Arteta is extremely unfair. I think a lot of the criticism that he's been given recently is down to the tactics and the freedom that the players are apparently not given on the pitch. Today, he took the leash off. Bro, all of them had the freedom to play. He put them in roles that made sense for them. That excuse is now gone. And they still did not produce.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, when are you going to hold the players accountable?
Mm.
How can that be? Like, you can talk about in-game management. Yeah, cool. That was one of the problems. But that was not the main issue today, bro. Before we got to the point of the 60th minute where you should have been making substitutions, we should have been 3 or 4-0 up.
Mm.
Bro.
And it's not the first time. So, my problem is, he said Reece Nelson has been, or he was the best out of the front three, or he was more of a threat than Saka, yeah? But do you trust that if he stayed on the pitch, something would have changed?
It's about making it right.
Let me land.
You can't let me talk
and
then
start
talking.
Before you answer,
what are you doing?
I don't care. Go on, answer.
All I was going to say is that as a manager, it's about making the right decisions, yeah? You've got one player who it doesn't look like it's happening, and then you've got another player who looks like he's cooking something at least. You keep on the player that's cooking at least, bro. At least that's
okay,
what you
that's
have to
right.
do.
It's cooking. But if we're talking about primary responsibility, yeah, do you think Arteta trusts these players to make something happen? And do you feel
he signed these players? He signed Havertz.
Listen, Lesh.
This is part of the problem as
let
well.
Me explain something. Calm let me, down, let guys, me explain something down, to you. Guys. You see when you stand certain players in a team, yes. For example. A lot of Arsenal fans want that Smith Rowe to get more minutes. You want Trossard to get minutes nine or whatever it is. You want Nelson to stay on the pitch. Bro, what have these men done to earn that? What have they done to earn that? Smith Rowe, yeah, cool. He might get 10-minute cameos here. I agree. He should have 100% got more minutes today. But whenever he started a game this season, or even he's come off the bench for 20, 25 minutes, whatever it is, he's never done anything memorable. He has not earned that. Enough. Regardless of what he done 3 years ago, who cares?
Let me tell you something, yeah? I think today we saw the difference between Klopp and Arteta. Firstly, in terms of in-game management, and then also in terms of the ability to utilise your squad and players come in and they're not just cold off the shelf. Klopp, the way he's, over the past couple of seasons, the way he's utilised the like of Tsimikas, who can come in and do a job, Joe Gomez, he keeps warm here and there so that when it comes to playing in certain games, he can come in and do a job.
Shaqiri.
The front three, even though Gakpo didn't have his best game or Nunes didn't have his first game, it's never like they're just isolated or on the shelf to the point where when they come in, it's like, wow, this guy looks rusty. He keeps them warm for the, like, when it's their opportunity to come in and shine, they can do that. The likes of Harvey Elliott and whatnot. That's the difference, bro.
I hear what you're saying, but I do think when Jalen makes his point, well, you probably want to
Obviously, the difference is the type of players that Klopp is rotating right now. I don't think any of them have really been able to hold down a position within that team. It's easier to rotate that type of side. Like, you're not gonna tell Smith Rowe to come in and replace, let's say, like an Odegaard or replace him, because he hasn't earned that, bro.
One of the things she was arguing today is that players have to come in and earn a spot. So who's earned their spot this season in Arsenal?
The first 11, in my opinion, have more credit over the last 12 months than someone like Smith Rowe. What's he done over the last 12 months?
How does Havertz have more credit?
What do you mean, how does he have more credit? Smith Rowe has not been fit for majority of the season. So how does Havertz have more credit?
Explain.
Oh my gosh. Explain. Listen already, yeah. Havertz has easily scored more goals than him. That's the first thing he's played more because he's been fit. That's my point.
But has he played well?
Again, let me ask you a question.
No, but has he played well?
Wait.
No, has he played well?
Bro, he's had better performances.
Has he played well?
He's had better performances.
Has he played well?
Yes, but you're not listening, bro. Has he had better performances than Smith Rowe? The answer is yes. Regardless of whether the performances are good enough for Arsenal, no, they're not. They have been better than Smith Rowe, yes or no?
Has Smith Rowe had
yes
a chance?
Or no? Yes, he has. Bro, the guy played in the Everybody Eats game and he didn't do nothing. He kept him back the hatchet that game. You know, he started that game. He didn't stand out, bro. He got taken off the pitch.
You know you're not making sense.
How does that not make sense?
You know you're not
bro.
Making sense.
So you're gonna sit here and say
that Havertz has earned a starting spot.
I don't think anyone's earned a starting spot off the bench.
I don't feel like they're key talking points from the game.
My problem is that he's saying like, I agree with you in terms of the in-game management. Yeah, I think you can see Klopp this season has been better in terms of his in-game management. Let's not forget, this is something that he's only just started to improve in, by the way. I was been complaining about his in-game management for like the last 2-3 seasons.
Yeah.
So someone that is so far into like their managerial career has only just like gained that like ability to do that and actually do it effectively. And then you're now getting onto Arteta for not being able to do that now.
I think there's two points there, and I'll come in because we're speaking about Klopp now. Is number one, I think Lesh's also talking about his general squad rotation. He thinks is better. And then I think the thing is, a lot of Arsenal fans have put Arteta on this pedestal and started comparing him to the likes of Pep and Klopp. And that's why then you have to talk about where the difference is. I feel like if Arsenal fans were a little bit more easy in their ratings of Arteta, I feel like a lot more neutral fans and even Arsenal fans themselves would just calm down and give him a bit more time. Because I do think Arteta's doing a really good job. And he is going to make mistakes. And we see him make mistakes. But it's his first job. But then you want to put him and compare him to big dogs in the game. So this is what happens.
That's my question.
And you did that, by the way. And your boy Ish.
I did what?
You put Arteta on the levels of Klopp at the start of this season.
In terms of what exactly, though?
You said right now, Arteta and Klopp are same level. In fact, I've got Arteta ahead.
Yeah, right now, I still have that.
Bro, first, it's not
still
looking
made,
like it.
I still made
it's
that
not,
shot.
It's not looking
I still
like
made
it.
That shot.
So right now, you still think Arteta's better than Klopp?
I still believe that. Yeah. I'll sit here and I'll say
that. Wait, where's the camera? Let me check it right here.
I still believe that.
The results on the pitch don't say
you don't
that,
say that.
They so don't have to say that, though. So they don't have to say that right now.
Okay, so you still feel like... Why do you feel like Arteta is better than Klopp?
I said on the last episode...
Rondo started. Where's those lights?
I said on the last episode, I already believe that Klopp this season is getting more credit because of how he underperformed last season. Yes or no?
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I believe that right now it's like, cool, Arteta's gone 3 games without a win. But in reality, if Arteta still finishes above Klopp this season, are you going to say that Klopp has had a better season than him?
If Arteta finishes above him?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, let's say you lot have a title challenge here. Let's say Arsenal finish second, Liverpool finish third, which is still very possible.
Yeah.
Because you're not, like, we're basically
Liverpool
still in the same place.
To win a trophy. Like, where is the Carabao?
I have a Carabao Cup, but again, do you know the reason why they're happy and they're satisfied with a domestic cup is because they underachieved last season? Because if you ask Ayo... No, hold on. Lesh, let me ask you. I ask you at the start of every single season, yeah? What's your aim for the season? What's your expectation? Before this season, your answer was always a major. If you don't win a major, that's
before
a failure.
Before this season?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I said. I said challenge.
What are you talking about?
No, I said challenge
yes,
this season.
I'm talking about as in the seasons that have gone.
Oh, yeah, the seasons that have gone.
You always say a major is a failure.
But
yes or no?
But we've rebuilt now.
That's what I'm saying. Because he underperformed last season, now your expectations have changed.
We did underperform last season, but we had we did underperform last season.
I told you, I don't buy this whole rebuilding thing.
Are you going to let me speak or is it just you? We did underperform last season, but because of last season, and even before last season, we needed to rebuild the midfield. Okay. We've done that now. So I can't really expect having the whole midfield rebuilt, a couple of other areas come in, we need a major. The team's very different from the team with, you know, all of those greats, in my opinion, that we had before. So I feel like challenge, and then next season, I want to see a major.
I believe he's getting away with murder because of his underperformance last season. And as I said...
So you think Liverpool must win a major this season?
I'm saying the reason he's going to get away with that is because he underperformed last season.
But he rebuilt the whole midfield.
So did we. Literally. No, that's what I explained to you.
But you man did it by choice.
You probably did it by choice. So what did these man do?
What do you mean you rebuilt the Is Odegaard still not there?
Odegaard's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Jones not there from last season?
That's a bit different.
Oh, come on. It's the same
way.
How's it different?
Jones is just coming into the side as an assured star.
He was there last season.
Yeah, but he's just coming into the side as an assured star.
Odegaard is a staple of your midfield.
Odegaard is a staple in your midfield.
Who cares? It's like for like roles that you're replacing.
Who cares? You're just making stuff up.
Do you know why I said it's different though? Because last week, obviously, I know you. I don't know if you watched the episode last week, innit? But I made the point that the way we've had to rebuild our midfield, like Rice has come in and he hasn't been a like for like switch. Same with whoever's playing in left side of mid. I know that's a decision that he's made. Yeah, but Liverpool have rebuilt their midfield with like for like switches.
No.
It's going to be a smoother transition.
Liverpool had to replace three aging starting midfielders, yeah? You only had to replace
three
one.
I'm rounding up this one, though. We're 20 minutes in and we've only spoken about Arsenal.
You had to replace one.
You had to replace one.
The other one you chose to replace was by choice.
Yes.
Only had to replace Xhaka.
He wanted to leave, bro.
That's what I'm saying. So you only had one player to replace.
What do you Xhaka. Mean?
You only had Xhaka to replace.
Okay, so but then if you didn't replace Partey, you man would be saying, but you should have planned for this and da-da-da.
No, yeah, fair.
Well, what are you talking about?
The agenda happen.
Just before you move on, I want to give one of your players one prop.
Sure.
Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones for England.
Bro,
this guy,
I like that.
Curtis Jones,
CJ.
I think he's quietly having an amazing season,
I think
he's become the staple for your LCM position.
Yeah.
And I think he's become a staple in your midfield, if I'm being honest, And let me tell you about Curtis Jones.
Yeah. I like this.
You see me, I'm like, personally, what I like to look for in terms of like a centre midfielder, me and Jaylen, we go back and forth about this a lot, I like that. When you have the technical ability where it's like you can receive the ball in a tight area and then maneuver and then distribute your pass.
Okay.
Curtis Jones takes the ball under pressure, can do jinky majinky or whatever, and then distribute his pass.
Yeah.
I think he has good decision making as well, can get up and down the pitch.
Mm.
And I think he's very, very comfortable on the ball. He's got dribbling as well. I think the next step for him is to kind of like push on and be able to kind of like take games by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah.
I think he's got something. But Curtis Jones for England, man. I think he's a very good player.
You think he should be in the England squad?
Yeah, everybody's talking about Gallagher and this person and that person. Curtis Jones.
I like that. I think he'd be a good addition for the England squad.
I don't know
about taking games on the scruff of the neck as much as I love Jones. I don't know. I kind of see him doing that sort of Ronaldo
sort of role for us.
Yeah, that's very nice for him. I think that's it. But Ronaldo didn't take the games by the scruff of the neck for us. He was just like sort of consistent 7-8 out of 10 every week. I think Jones has got that to him because you think of his fundamentals, excellent counter press, ball retention.
Is that based on today that you come and said that?
No, I've been saying this.
I feel like today I don't think he was particularly amazing today. He was actually quite good when he went into the six. But I don't think he was amazing today. In fact, I thought we're going to move on to Liverpool now. I need to talk.
I thought our midfield today. After that though, we got a couple
was
more.
Trash.
Bro, I didn't see them.
And I feel like
I didn't see them on the pitch.
Off the back of that, I feel like we had Endo come in as the understudy of McAllister and do better than him. I can't lie. I feel like the time has come. McAllister needs to come out of the six. Just play him in the eight. When I think about him in the six right now, off the ball, he doesn't give a lot. He's not a tackler. He's not a big physical presence. And on the ball, I think he's he's too vertical and tries to take too many risks for the six. So you don't even really get what you think you would get in terms of deep line playmaking. You compare him to Jorginho today, big difference in terms of temperament and ball retention. So for me, just play Jones there till Endo's back, because at least Jones keeps it simple. It's very hard to get the ball off Jones, and he's a bit more of a physical presence. I don't want to see Mac in the six. That first half performance, Jesus Christ. And to be honest, our midfield struggled till about the 55th minute. So I think that's my first major point. My second major point, Diaz and Nunes. You two, man. You two are two ugly ducklings, bruv. Ugly duckling twins. I can't with you two. With Diaz, I got a little bit more faith that one day you can become a swan. Nah. With Nunes, I really don't know. Every other week, I don't know if he's going to be an ugly duckling for life or whether he's going to turn into a swan one day. Because I think with those two, throughout the whole game, they have that raw talent where they were able to create a lot in transition, create a lot of chaos, still keep us in the game, still have a lot of like good attacking.
Ben White pocketed Luis Diaz, by the way.
Not really. Well, did Diaz
in
score?
In the first half.
Did Diaz score?
Well, yeah, when he went to the other side.
Okay.
Against Jalen's boy, Kirior.
Anyhow. But yeah, I think with those two, I think I need them to give me a little bit more while Salah's out, because I'm not liking this lack of quality with their final action, because it's not going to be good enough every day. Because I feel like, even though we did take the game and we won it 2-0, which is beautiful, mm-hmm. I feel like even earlier we could have kind of knocked the stuffing out of Arsenal. I didn't expect Arsenal to keep on missing, but they really did just keep on missing, and then we were able to get into the game.
Just saying that, yeah. See, when you're guessing that Klopp's in-game management, yeah, the only reason we're sitting here doing that is because of us, you know that, innit?
It is because of that. But he made the change at half time.
No, what I'm saying is that even though he made the changes, the chances for us didn't stop. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, they got a couple more chances.
It dried up.
But it didn't dry. We still had a good amount of chances. It's just when you compare it to the amount that we had in the first half, it was less, but it was still a high amount.
But I feel like it was even in the second half.
You man had your
when
chances.
When he made the subs, I feel like it was just an end-to-end game.
But I'm saying
chance for us, chance for you.
But again, the reason that we're sitting here and we're giving like props to him is, again, because of us. We missed the chances, bro.
Well, yes, because of you. But then at the same time, we still did better after he made the subs. Like, we got chances. We weren't getting chances before.
Bro, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But like, if I look at... Obviously, I just want to... Just a couple more points on Arsenal here before we move on.
Oh, my God. Bro.
Two points.
Are you okay?
No. Because obviously... Bro,
we're on the Liverpool segment and he's coming, bro. It's 20 minutes.
Man, I'm bored. I'm not going to lie. Have you got anything else to say for Liverpool?
Yeah, I've got a couple more points to say about Liverpool.
A couple more, yeah? Cool. Yeah. We'll let you land and then I'm going to just say my closing piece.
Okay, say it now.
Right, this is
coming
to Liverpool. Get the closing piece.
I don't know why.
Let's spend 10 minutes talking about it.
How can I not speak on Liverpool when Klopp tried to throw the game, bring on two academy boys, and we still won?
That's embarrassing.
And we still won. Hey, that's you guys, in fact, you can speak on that.
That was
you
actually what I was
how
gonna,
we bring
no,
on
no,
two
no,
academy. How we bring on two academy boys to try throw the game, and we end up winning the game.
Control of the game after that.
We got even more control after that.
It's embarrassing. I can't lie.
That was crazy. But I think the other key point that I wanted to speak on is how key I feel like... Wait, I've even forgotten, man. Jay's made me forget my point. Hey, Jay, comment and then I'll remember.
No, I was going to say on the academy point, because that's actually what I wanted to ask Lesh. Yeah. Like, a lot of the fans are saying that Teta doesn't really bring you through, or he doesn't play enough of the academy boys. Yeah, but when I was driving on the way here, I was just deep in that. Like, we've actually built a squad that's basically the youngest average age, like, within the league. Mm-hmm. So, does he not deserve credit for that as well? Or is it just a thing where you just don't rate the fact that he's playing the academy boys?
The thing is, he's built that. But in terms of, like, the academy boys that he inherited, obviously, like, Saka's gone on to do major things, obviously. But, like, obviously, like, Smith Rowe, it looks like he's kind of stagnated as well. And I think one thing that Arsenal fans like about the club a lot is the ability to kind of, like, bring through youth players and, like, see them like coming for cup games and stuff like that. And obviously, like, as Arsenal fans, you hear a lot about the Nwaneris, Lewis Scullies, all these different types of players. Obviously, Rule Waters has been on the bench quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I just think that, like, he keeps them there. And then obviously, like, in that Champions League group stage game, the last game where it didn't really mean much, he didn't even, like, then, play one of them.
Cool. So you say that, yeah?
Oh, but then, no, you're going to come with a counterpoint for that? That's going to be another five minutes.
No, but earlier, yeah, he said that Arteta doesn't rotate the squad enough and the players aren't, like, fresh off the shelf in it when they come into the... So if he's playing the academy boys ahead of those, like, fringe players, How are they going to be fresh when they come off the bench?
That's a good point, you know, but he's not coming back to that. Anyway, now remember my Liverpool point.
That's such a terrible
point. I was going to talk about Konate.
No one's suggesting the 11 players have to be all academy.
You see how like another manager wouldn't play like bare like 24-year-olds in the same time, and as Arsenal fans, yeah, the reason that we lost out in the league was also due to inexperience, yeah. And guys are saying, oh, we should play academy boys at this game or that game, bro. The guys that are young in the team now, it's like we forget that these guys are like between the age of 20 and 25, they and they're all playing.
So,
but moving on, I think it's a good point for you, from yourself, Jaden. But moving on, yeah. I just wanted to talk about Konate, the man of the match today. Oh. I feel like, again, he was so assured at the back after being sensational in the reverse fixture at Anfield. And I just want to point out, because I thought Saliba as well was really good. He had a lot of 1v1. I thought he was good, yeah.
I think he's a bit shaky.
Nah, he faded a little Saliba bit in it. I don't think he was too bad. Obviously, like, Nunes had a chance on his side, which he got through.
On the ball as well, he was a bit shaky.
Nah, I feel like he was fine on the ball. But I thought Saliba showed a lot of good 1v1 actions against Nunes, and he's overall a fantastic defender. And I think, just thinking about the two, it made me just think that Deschamps has to start these two as the starting two centre-backs for France. I know it's a bit of a different point from the game, but I feel, I don't know what you're talking about, but I just feel like the two of them would be such an excellent centre-back pairing. I feel like Konate is often forgotten about because of how amazing Van Dijk's been. But when you talk about 1v1 defending, channel defending, there's nobody better. Saliba's capable of that as well, but I feel like he's also a little bit more of the assured type, doesn't always go quite front foot and aggressive. I feel like as two pairings, you know, France basically have their two centre backs for a generation. So I really want to see them start to play together more for the national team. Deschamps, pattern up.
The only issue is though is that they both play on the right.
Yeah, but you're telling me someone like Saliba's not capable of playing on the left?
No, it's not even that. I just think some centre-halves, like, they're just less comfortable on the left-hand side. In terms of the relationship between them.
I would say Konate is that type. You know, he's a little bit unorthodox, shall we say, on the ball.
I feel like Saliba playing
on the left, he's fine. You know, for a man of his size, like, when you talk about him on the ball, I think he's very capable.
Again, it's like, Konate's come away with man of the match here, but again, like, we should have been 4-0 up. Like, so I understand
you
played well. No, but that's what I'm trying to say. So it's like, every time I look at a game, yeah, and obviously this is the one thing that I don't think we made a point on yet, but our three, like, number nine options, yeah, Havertz, Gabriel Jesus, and then Ketia, is like Eden and Eddie, bro. Like, you're choosing, like, the lesser of, like, the two evils, isn't it? It's like, it's just, you're looking at it, and yes, Havertz done, like, a couple good things today in terms of, like, his running off the ball. Eddie, like, I don't know what his redeeming qualities are, unless maybe you can talk about that. Jesus, again, you get excited about, like, his link-up players dribbling. But, bro, like, a striker should be able to do everything that those three are good at individually. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. Like, it's a disgrace that we have to choose one from those three, and we're choosing, like, the worst one, and then we're guessing what he's... the bar is just in the hell,
you guys,
man.
Need a striker. You know what I mean? You guys need a striker to go to that next level. Can Arsenal win the league?
Nah.
Right.
I've changed my stance.
You've been yes.
No, because it's happened too many times now.
That finishing, is that the difference?
And personally, I don't want the club to rush now and panic, because that number nine signing is so crucial to taking us to, like, the next level. I don't feel like if we panic now and go spend, you know, 80 mil, 100 mil on Ivan Toney, that anything's going to change, in all honesty.
Fair enough. You want to take time to really scan the market.
The only thing that I would say, see, like when Wenger had these problems, you're always saying, oh, Arsenal are nine away, or, you know, we're a DM away from winning the league. I have full faith that Arsenal will 100% sign a striker by the end of summer. That's why I'm not worried longer term. But in the short term, I don't think we win the league.
Fair enough. All right, cool. Moving on to rondos of the season. Finally, Raf, I'm going to ask you first if you got one prepared. Doesn't look like you do. But I feel like you haven't been able to speak, and we're like halfway through the pod right now. Cool. Talk to me. What is your rondo of the season? These are you guys already know about the rondos, our audio and visual listeners. You know, these are the hot takes.
Do you know
so we're halfway through the season, so we want to hear it from the cast that we've got in today?
I don't have any because all my rondos turned out true. Like,
oh,
I,
my
I
days.
Can't be. I've been proven right on everything.
You said that you think Gallagher should be in the England starting 11.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't lie. That's
in and around. In and around.
Should he be starting or not?
It's hard to say because obviously no.
There's
that third spot is a bit like you pick whoever gives you the best balance. I think it's not like there's one standout player.
Okay,
it's like I think Gallagher's a nice player. He gives you good balance. Can play whatever role really.
Okay, fair enough. But you think he's been really good this season?
Yeah. I think Gallagher's been really good this season.
Fair enough. But you kind of backed out of the Rondo. Any good Rondos of the season?
I got one. You won't like it though.
What is it?
I think the main reason why Arsenal haven't performed as well this season.
Arsenal, go on then.
Is £105 million man.
You think it's Rice?
Yeah. 100% it's Declan Rice.
Why is that?
That's 100%.
That's a Rondo. I feel like it's been good. 100%.
No. Declan Rice himself individually.
I can't believe there's more Rondo. You got like 2 minutes though. I'm tired of hearing about Arsenal, man. We have other fans.
Individually, he's been very good, yeah. But he's ruined the dynamics of the entire team. he's genuinely ruined it.
Okay. Like, why do you think that?
Bro, he's the whole point of Arsenal, yeah, last season is that it was good build-up, quick build-up. And now you got this guy that's labouring. He gets the most important position and he looks like Scott McTominay.
Bro. Oh, so he's on the ball, he's held Arsenal
back.
Yeah,
man. It's like, bro, you only have to look at, firstly, West Ham going up and up and up and up and up. Yeah. Arsenal going, bro.
Fairs.
But
don't you think maybe it's because Arsenal having brought in an LCM next to him that can, you know, allow them to be as good going forward as they are usually.
Because
if you look at him today next to Jorginho, Arsenal's midfield was popping.
If you take like last season's Arsenal team and you do the same team but Rice instead of Partey, do you think that's a better team?
But that's not the point.
Because I don't. No, it is the point.
I feel like it might be all right because Xhaka and Odegaard got enough ball playing.
Nah.
The reason that Rice has been brought into the team is so that you can play someone that's more attack-minded in the LCM role that doesn't have to defend as much. So like, kind of like a Fernandinho.
So what was Havertz for then?
He's a fake midfielder, bro. We're talking about when I say that, I'm talking about someone like Smith Rowe.
That is your justification.
But someone that
for
he trusts, obviously, no. a bit more. That's
your
what he's been bought for.
No. That's your. No, he's not. That's
yeah,
your.
It is, bro.
No. He's clearly been bought to play number six.
I'm not saying he's not been bought to play number six. I'm saying
he's been bought to play the Fernandinho.
More attacking minded.
So more attack minded, left centre mid and right centre mid can both coexist.
Yeah, and I'm saying that's ruined the dynamics of the entire team.
No, it hasn't because we don't have that person yet. That's my point. Like.
How does that
make sense?
You think
it's Havertz?
You do have it. Yeah, he's just rubbish.
Okay, anyway.
Moving on. Okay. Jalen, what's yours?
I want to talk about the Zerbi still.
Okay.
Oh.
Speak facts.
Let me hear it. Nah. Let me see if the Rondo's on.
I don't know what the title or headline of this would be. I just think that the criticism that he's come under to me this season is being unwarranted. Like, when you actually look at the, you know, when you're talking about like the injury crisis in terms of like all the teams of what they've had, he's probably been at like the worst end of it. And I feel like a lot of people are saying, you know, De Zerbi, his tactics are this, his tactics are that. At the end of the day, he plays a very like specific system that players obviously have to build into. Mm. But I saw someone make a point earlier, like his left back is a centre half that he's playing as a makeshift right now. He's having to play James Milner as a makeshift left back. Well, I don't even know if it's makeshift because that's basically his position, isn't it? But even the right back that he's having to play right now is actually a centre mid that's from the academy, isn't it? So... Mm. I think if we dive deeper into it, like I still feel like De Zerbi could 100% succeed at like a top side and still deserves that move. But at the end of the day, at Brighton, I feel like this is kind of the cap of where, like it's the ceiling of where he's able to go just under there.
Where are Brighton in the league?
They're just below United.
They top their Europa League group, innit?
And they're seventh, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think he's doing well given what's happened.
Yeah, I think it's about as far as
you think about the pivot got sold.
But
as
do you
well.
Think do you think he's at his ceiling in terms of like his managerial ability or just in terms of what he can do at Brighton?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there's a lot of naivety in his game that would get exposed at the top level.
You think so? With better players.
Yeah, but you'll have better players at your disposal, but you're gonna have bigger challenges as well.
I think you've got to give him the chance with better players. I do understand what you're saying, but I think you've got to give him the chance with better players. You've got to think of, imagine Pep at a lower level club? Is it going to be all that different? Because you think about City do take risks on the ball. Big teams do take risks on the ball in their half. And if the players weren't as good, they would get caught a lot more than they do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think...
he's got Belaba.
I think one of the big differences from like managing that level to the top level is being able to adapt and being able to kind of know when you need to park your ideas and know when you just need to grab
it. But Zerbi plays the same way against Man City, Arsenal, as he would against like, the lower...
And you can't do that.
But the thing is, that's what I'm trying to say.
Like, even Pep wouldn't do that.
But if he goes... No,
Pep did it the first season and then he patterned himself up.
Nah, but Ref.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He hasn't got the chance to learn at the big level.
But the thing is, yeah, again, this goes back to like what Brighton's aims are, innit? Because he's not really at a club that's aiming to obviously win a Premier League or to finish, you know, top four back to back. Realistically, he's got the license really to play whatever football he wants. As long as he's keeping a mid-table, that's his expectation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think this season, he's focused obviously on the Europa League. He's always played his strongest side and that we know that he likes to rotate a lot. They finished top of their Europa League group. I think his main aim for the season is how far can you go in that European competition? I think the league, as long as they finish, or as long as they don't get relegated, really, like no one's really going to be looking at Brighton and saying, you know what?
Well, I think given himself, he probably wants to finish top half. Like,
yeah, I mean, I always say like the difference between like finishing eighth and finishing 12th, does it really make a big difference in the context of, you know, what's actually happened between the mid-table sides?
Yes.
Does it though, really?
Look at Chelsea, look at United.
Yeah, I think so, in terms of the ratings that he'll get.
I don't think it makes a big difference.
Not a lot of managers have finished 15th and got a top six job. I think De Zerbi wants a top six job, so he needs to keep them in.
But again, I'm assuming
I think he'll get a top six job.
Where?
In football, football's very fluid. You don't know who could drop out of the top six. Would you have thought that Ange Postecoglou?
That's another one though as well.
That's
even a better one. Why didn't you rate Ange?
There's a couple managers that I don't rate.
Is it Arsenal?
No, this is a good shout. I'm interested.
I said one step next.
Why didn't you rate Ange?
Do you know what it is? Let me ask you, man, first before I go ahead there. What do you feel like Spurs' long-term aim is?
Top four.
Stefan Rondo.
Top four?
Yeah. Top four.
No, but obviously they've been like top
I think,
four,
I think their long-term aim is to win a mate. To win a trophy. I think they're happy with any trophy.
They're happy to get back into top
four. No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Long-term, they want a trophy. Nah, you think about speaking to Alfonso. Alfonso's desperate, even for just FA Cup.
Not a major though.
Not a major. I don't think they need a major. If they came third and won an FA Cup, for instance, this year, they'd be
that's
over the
moon. That's their aim.
Yeah, that's what they saw. A cup. So I don't think know, to man. Get me, back into the
me
top pers- four.
Me
and get
personally,
a cup.
I always feel like they're gonna be chasing. They're chasing a dream in it of winning a title at the end of the day. That's what I feel like they're trying to get to. And my shout is based on that. I think he definitely has the possibility to win, let's say, like an FA Cup or a Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
But because Spurs haven't done that for so long, that's now an overrated achievement, if we're being honest, bro. Leicester have won that. Okay, Wigan have won it. You know what I'm saying? Swansea have even won a Carling Cup.
Long time ago.
Yeah. But it's not something that you shouldn't be able to do, innit?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Okay, so go on.
If we're talking about, like, taking Spurs to the point where, you know, they're going to be able to challenge the Arsenals, the Cities, the Liverpools at the top of the table and obviously go the... Like, basically, go over the final obstacle, which I feel like is obviously the hardest one. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. And evidence of that from that Chelsea game in which he was so, like, naive.
Okay.
And obviously everyone gassed it after. But in reality, like, I feel like a lot of managers, like, they get to the point where, cool, you can coach an attacking system and, the football looks nice and you're scoring goals. Of course, everyone wants to see that, But critically, once people realise that you're a good team in this league and they start to give you respect... Are you now going to be able to deal with like the problems that they are going to give you?
And
I think after obviously this first season, we'll be able to analyze whether he's able to adapt to that. But I still don't really feel like he's good enough to get to that particular level.
I will say in defense of Pont, whatever his name is, one thing I will say...
Call him Big Ange.
Big Ange is that... Obviously, like, Tottenham lost their main talisman at the beginning of the season. And obviously, he's come in. He's doing an okay job so far. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're playing good football and whatnot. He's kind of, like, set in stone an identity to which they can now kind of, like, build off and, you know what I mean, go on to whatever the next level is for them. So in terms of like taking over a club in a massive transition period where your main talisman has got and kind of like keeping them in and around top four and whatnot, I feel like he's done good so far.
Yeah, he's even lost his talisman that came on this season, like Madison.
That's what I'm saying. Like, my shout is not, it's not that he hasn't done a good job so far. I just don't think he's going to be able to get to that. Yeah, that top level. Like, for where Spurs are trying to get to.
I feel like some Spurs fans say they want to win a major, but I'm not sure they can. I don't think he's got the ability to win a major. Like, but I ask, does he have enough resources to do so?
Let me ask you this. Yeah. You see, like, when Spurs are finishing top four, like, back-to-back, like, how they were maybe, like, five seasons ago on the Poch or whatever. Obviously, the aim from that point is to get to that major spot. Yes or no?
I think so, but I feel like they would have been happy if he just won a trophy.
I don't know. I think after a certain amount of time, they're going to look at Ange and say, all right, cool, you know, it's either we push for, you know, someone that's going to be able to take us to a title or we're just going to settle with what we have. And I don't think they'll settle.
Fair enough. I think they should settle, affairs.
And I think it's the same with, like, Newcastle with Eddie Howe, innit? Like, they could finish top four by all means, but
settle.
Who's going to take them to a potential title?
Nobody.
Title
they should settle.
I don't know about
cool. that. Cool. I got one still.
Go on.
I feel like let me turn it back to Greece.
Don't let this be about Salah.
No, it's not about Salah. No, I feel like Ross Barkley has been the best midfielder in the league.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's a rondo, but that's my opinion.
I mean, I'll tell you who it's not.
I feel like, is that a rondo or not? I don't know.
It's not been 105 million.
Best midfielder in the league.
I feel like he's been the best. Think about it.
The best midfielder in
the
league.
So if you think about this competition, right? Madison, been amazing. Obviously got injured now.
How many Luton games you watched?
Odegaard. I ain't watched Bears.
What games could you remember? Highlights?
No, I watched him against Liverpool. I watched him against City. I watched him against Arsenal.
Chelsea as well.
And I watched him against Chelsea. I think it's those games, to be honest.
You watched four games, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's those. I've obviously seen the other ones, but you see me.
Those are hard games for Luton. Yeah. No, but what I'm trying to say, before I let you go, yeah, but what I'm going to say, somebody like Ross Barkley, yeah, where it's like, you're a skills man, take on players and whatnot. Yeah. Playing on a small pitch like Kenilworth Road, where it's like, you can beat one player, then I can beat the next player, then I can make a pass.
I'm basically on the box.
Then you're on the box, yeah. It's crazy, bro.
I just feel like, I get that. And to be honest, those four games are the ones that stick into my mind. I feel like I've seen maybe a couple of other Luton games, but those are the ones that I probably remember. But you're just deeper, yeah? Right, Madison obviously was amazing. Went off, has had an injury, so we can't really put him as midfielder of the season. Odegaard, for me, started off a bit slowly.
Been terrible.
I think he's been all right since. And then KDB has obviously not been about. There's been a couple of other midfielders who've done pretty well, but Ross Barkley, for me, I can't lie, this Renaissance tour, I'm locked in. Let me just finish. When I'm watching this guy at Kenilworth Road, and I'm seeing him drop 360s, drop shoulders. Bro, there's times he's playing big clubs for Luton. He's playing against Arsenal. He's playing against Chelsea. He's playing against Liverpool. And he's going, it's just me. I'm going to carry them. And he's going head-to-head against their midfield. I'm quite like, I've been locked in. I feel like in terms of entertainment, in terms of if you really deep the context behind his performances.
But that's what I was going to ask.
He's been the best midfielder in the league this season. It's been fantastic. Ross Barkley, let me just follow that. Ross Barkley for England. Put him in that first game.
Ross Barkley and Curtis Jones.
Ross Barkley for England, bro. I'm locked in, bro. That's my guy.
You see, when you're saying the best midfielder, are you talking about in terms of like the highest quality, or are you just talking about in terms of context?
Because performance.
That doesn't make
performance
sense.
Performance because of content.
Come on, man. Like, how has he been better than Foden, for example?
Foden's been really good, to be fair. So he's one. It's quite hard to argue. After Foden, second.
So he's second, though. We're just going to go through midfielders that are better than him. What about Paquetá?
Same level. He's playing for Luton, bro. The man is battling by himself.
West Ham just lost Declan Rice.
And he's out here.
Paquetá's just holding it down in that midfield, bro.
I don't care.
I'm not hearing that.
No, Paquetá's got good players around him. What are you saying? He's got Kudus. He's got
better than Paquetá this season, man. Come on, man.
I think it'll be same level.
Marondo's about a midfielder as well.
Oh, you got one?
It's about another midfielder, though.
All right.
Somebody who I think doesn't get enough of the, like, enough plaudits. And I think when we're talking about the number six position, I think we always talk about Declan Rice, we talk about Rodri, Obviously, Bruno G comes into conversations. But I think Kamara at Aston Villa deserves some praise.
Nice one.
I think he's somebody who goes under the radar a bit. Obviously, like Douglas Luiz, John McGinn, obviously, like they get a lot of the like the praise and whatnot.
Mm.
But in terms of like being a pure like kind of like holding midfielder and being able to like break up play, then like, you know, good pass selection and whatnot, I think Kamara is always consistent on that. And I think he's vital to that Aston Villa system. Yeah, in terms of the job he does, I think he's key to it.
I think he's been really good.
But the only thing
I think he's been the third best six in the league.
Wait.
Just before you come in, top three. What's the top three then?
Declan Rice, Rodri, and then Kamara.
So firstly, he's been better than Pellegrini. Yeah. Cool. And the second question is,
he's been better than Pellegrini this season. 100%.
I'm taking you. And obviously, you got Basuma there. You got other guys in the league that obviously have done all right. You know what I'm saying? But it's cool. But the only thing is when I've watched Villa, like defensively, I'm still not 100% convinced by the way that they closed down certain setups. Obviously, like when they played Arsenal, for example, there was no real like pressure on the ball. I think obviously you watched the Man City game, right?
Is that not a system thing?
I mean, yeah, but then at the same time, like, then you can't really say that he's a key part of that. If his main job is defending.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're looking at a pure defensive six, and I still feel like there's gaps in like, their midfield, and it's still easy to play over the defence. So how does that really, like, make sense?
Because I think we all know the way that Emery likes to play. Like, it's a bit high intensity, like, a lot of counters and whatnot. And I feel like a lot of the time, like, the space gets vacated in the midfield, where he kind of like fills the gap and is able to kind of like have a presence in that midfield. I think a lot of the work he does goes unnoticed throughout games, but in terms of his overall positioning, being able to like just be the all-round six and break up play and then distribute passes, I think he's been the third best in the league.
When Villa are pressing, he's really good. But Villa do this weird thing where they only press for portions of the game, but they hold their line throughout the whole
night. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, the midfield doesn't really press. Like, you can't, like, you don't.
They do in parts.
No, but my thing,
John McGinn and Douglas Luiz don't press.
They do in parts, bro.
But my thing is, like,
that's a high press.
No, but they have portions of the game where they don't press.
But again, like, what formation do you think Villa play? Because it's not a 4-3-3.
It's a slanted 4-3-3.
It's a 4-2-3-1.
So it's basically like there's two in there, isn't it? So you're saying like pure six again. He's not playing the lone six role.
He is playing the lone six.
I don't know. This is a bit of a weak argument. That's my personal opinion.
That's fair. All right, guys, we do have to move on. I don't think we're going to have time to do like best debuts. Maybe we'll hear one because I feel like I know someone's got a funny one. But we'll do best genres and worst genres of footballers. Has anyone got any?
Best genres, low sock footballers still.
Daniel Sturridge.
I love it.
Wait, give us the examples.
I said Daniel Sturridge, I feel like, you know, you really like, I wouldn't say kickstarted it, but you were a real like icon in that particular category. Okay. Obviously, Jack Grealish, you know, being less, obviously, you know, really rated his thing. Awobi is iconic, but I wouldn't say he's like, iconic.
Hold on.
You see when you talk about low sock ballers though,
like, he embodies what a low sock baller is.
Like, he definitely comes into your head.
Fair.
Like, if I was to ask you about
Thomas Müller next or something.
No. Oh, you might think Thomas Müller?
But you know what it is, though?
If I ask you about that, like, about low sock ballers now, like, who comes into your head? Like, who's like
Smith
the first?
Smith Rowe, Grealish.
Smith Rowe and Grealish at the moment.
Leon Bailey's a low sock baller now.
Yeah, no, a lot more people. Even I saw Trent today with the low sock, you know.
He's been on the low sock.
He's been on the low sock.
Have that one.
Low sock ballers, I like that.
I've got one still, but best genre. Do you get me? A genre of footballer that I like, you see tall strikers that can dribble. I don't know why. Maybe
Kevin Jones.
Like, I feel like the ones that stick out to me are Isaac.
Yeah.
And Ibrahimovic. I don't know what it is, but the way they're able to move while being that tall, I just have a special appreciation for it. I feel like Omri comes into it a bit, but because he was so physically superior, often he just uses pace. But like when I see Ibrahimovic and Isaac, when they maneuver out of like very tight spaces being that tall, I'm like, I don't know, it's just good to watch. And not a lot of nines can dribble. I feel like I like nines that can dribble anyway. So when they're tall, it's like, no, that's special quality. I just appreciate them type of ballers there.
Berbatov's a good one.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, he's another good shout in that area.
That's a nice one. Man.
I've got two categories. The first one, it's a little bit basic, but going back to that era of like the tens who can just cook. Like they just take the game by the scruff of the neck. Yeah, they can find the passes. So the Ozils, the Matters, even throw a Coutinho into there and whatnot.
Good era.
That era there, it was just total football.
Them real 10.
Real 10s.
I'm playing in the hole. You know
they had number 10 on their back.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were just cooking. Yo.
A man said, I played in the hole.
You know that's a football term.
And the other category that I just love is just skillful and like technically brilliant fullbacks. Like the likes of Marcelo's, Dani Alves. Mm. Like even watching like the Trent versus Ben White, passing range off today.
Yeah,
it was lovely to watch. Still. Ben White just spraying the balls, Trent doing his thing. But those types of like those purely like technical fullbacks they take the ball under pressure. Sometimes there's a winger coming and closing them down and they can beat the winger
and then find a pass and whatnot.
Yeah. They can dribble. Them type of fullbacks.
I've got time for that.
Me and AA have always lacked. You know the strikers that just have brazy movement, bro, in the box, like the Cavani.
You know
the striker like fakes near post and then goes to the back post.
I love that.
That's so satisfying to watch, but it just also looks very intelligent.
I feel like Nunes has got a bit of it, but obviously he can't finish. Brother,
why would you say that?
he's got his movement.
But why would
mad.
You say that, though?
Like, yeah, he's got mad movement.
But that's what Nunes is meant to be.
Yeah, he's got mad movement.
He's meant to be that. But I think it's always nice to see like a striker that is like very well respected, obviously scores a lot of goals, but isn't necessarily that mad quick or he's mad strong. It's down Kane's to like intelligence and just cold finishing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got a big respect for those. I think I've got to shout out the Rondo in terms of their Twitter. Shout out Joe runs our Twitter. No, I'm just saying, they had worse genres of players. They did one in terms of midfielders that basically, if they don't score, they don't really give anything Bruno else. They don't really midfield.
Don't do that.
So I think they were saying,
a bit
do like kind of the likes of Bruno Fernandes, Dele Alli. Who else was there?
You said Aaron Ramsey, but I don't agree with
Aaron Ramsey. These are midfielders that don't really excel. When you talk about actually midfielding and controlling the game, they don't really excel. And if they don't score, I don't think they give a lot.
Like a certain Liverpool legend, no?
Steven Gerrard.
This guy's being
I hear that one though. I hear that one still.
I think another worst genre is players is this next generation of Spanish players where they've just remixed the names. You've gone from Xavi to Gavi, Pedro to Pedri, Fernando Torres to Ferran Torres. And they just haven't hit the heights that the previous generation has.
See, the worst genre of players as well is the ones that look like they're cold technically. You know, like the João Felix is at Chelsea when they're doing brazing or something on the ball. But in reality, what are you actually doing in the game?
Well, they don't really do much.
What are you actually doing? Like, technically, like, you're cold. Like, you know, like when Caballos came to Arsenal, bare spins and this and that. But you're not really affecting the game.
Would you say Enzo now?
No. I believe in Enzo still.
Okay, very good. I was just asking.
I'm going to lie. That's how Ander Herrera had me fooled still.
Ander Herrera?
Bro, because you come from playing that Bilbao game.
You watched Ander Herrera and thought that he was...
No, obviously, when he first came to United, I only watched that one Bilbao game.
I don't think you understand the genre that I'm talking about.
No. He wears the low socks. I thought we finally got a Spanish midfielder.
I feel like another best genre that I wanted to just... I think it's the last one that we'll have, but... Like wingers that just love going 1v1.
Yes.
I feel like it's a dying up. We've got Doku now. I feel like he was one of the only in the Prem, but back in the day we had the CR7s, Adel Tarats. Do you know what I mean? Them real.
That's where you
in. Tarat though, he loved it off the left. like these wingers that really want to say, it's me and you. Me and the fullback. And they actually wanted to rip
I think
them.
In terms
Geeks
of
today, back in the day.
These are the names you're picking out.
No,
well,
I think in terms of
right now.
When
did you watch old school gigs?
Obviously, I didn't watch him, but his highlights. So you can see he's going right as fullback.
I think in terms of right now, you've got Doku, you've got Vinny, and you've got Rafael Leao. In terms of like just watching them as like pure wingers and like their ability to just go one versus one at a man every time, and you know that they're guaranteed going to beat their fullback, that's an elite type of player to watch right there. 100%.
That's what United heritage used to be built on. How we got man, like Anthony?
Hard drive's not even got a lot of space.
I was going to say rapper.
I think, to be honest, we're kind of coming towards the end of the podcast. I don't think we'll do the kind of the debut and the fall off. I think it's been a good episode. Thanks to all.
It's been a messy episode.
Yeah, a little bit messy,
been
man.
All right.
It's this guy.
It must be this guy.
What do you mean?
I didn't do. I just came to you say my word.
That doesn't usually happen. I'll say that.
What are you talking about? Have you done that before?
But the thing is usually we'll talk about things that actually make sense.
Oh my god.
Guys, the show's over. Please like, subscribe, and all of that stuff. Thank you, man. We love you at the Rondo.